Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's December 26, 2011, and this is episode 315. Following on from episode 309, when we looked at what I take on a portrait shoot, today we're going to take a look at what I take on a nature and wildlife shoot. I'm planning on going away for a few days this week, so I figured as I planned my shoot, I'd walk you through what I take with me. For my portrait work, where I'm usually either working mostly from the car, or even if I put travel on public transport, I'm usually working with a client nearby, I have started to use the Think Tank Photo Airport Security 2 bag that we looked at in episode 309. But when I'm going to be out in the field and probably will end up walking with my gear, I use the Gura Gear Kiboko bag. This is a 30-litre bag that holds an incredible amount of gear, despite not really being that big a bag. And it's very light as well, designed for the travelling photographer. You can fit the 600mm f4 lens into the Kiboko as well, but it takes up pretty much one side of the bag, so I generally take my 600mm f4 lens in a Canon bag made just for this lens, as we can see in the photo that I have put into the blog post, and it's also in the Enhanced podcast. If you're listening to the MP3 and you don't have access to the images, then go to mbp.ac/315 and check the images out on the blog. And I've recently enabled a plugin that will enlarge the images to as large as they are on the web, so that you can see more detail in any of these photographs as well. So it's a good place to view the images. Because the Kiboko bag is separated down the middle into two compartments, the next photo that we're showing right now shows you that basically it's not that easy to open up the bag for a photograph. So basically what I did here was I taped the two compartment flaps together so that we can take a look, but I know that it's not the best what's in the bag photo. So I'll take the stuff out and we'll show you that in a moment. You can see from the size of the 600mm there to the right of the Kiboko bag that it is possible to put the 600mm into one side of the Kiboko. When I fly with the 600mm, I generally put it into the bag and put the camera bodies and the lenses and things that I can no longer fit into the bag, into my pockets and my laptop carry-on. I also put the white bag for the 600mm into my checked luggage, though, and then I switch them out when I get to my location. The things aside that you can kind of see attached to the side of the Kiboko are my knee pads. I generally keep these with me for nature photography because I never know when I'm going to want to kneel down for extended periods of time for macro work or for a low angle. And on uneven ground, this can get pretty uncomfortable, so the knee pads help. I also generally put the smaller of these two tripods that I'm showing you a photograph of now, and onto the side of the Kiboko bag. But when traveling, this can tip me over the weight this can tip me over the weight for a carry-on, so I often put them into my checked luggage. I like to take both tripods when I can, because when I'm using the 600mm f4 lens, I use a second tripod with a Wimberly gimbal head fitted, so that I can track flying birds or moving animals more easily. The left of the two tripods, the smaller one, is fitted with the Really Right Stuff BH55 ball head, and the second has the old Wimberly head. There's a new version of this out, the Wimberly head 2, I think it's called. I didn't upgrade, although it, you know, I would like to give that lens, that gimbal head a try, because it seems a little bit lighter and slightly more rigid apparently, but I haven't been able to warrant the upgrade yet. When I'm using all of this gear, I generally carry the Kiboko with the smaller tripod attached to my back, and the, you know, using the stowable shoulder straps that, you know, on the Kiboko, and there's a waist belt as well. So I usually have the smaller tripod and that on my back, and the 600mm in its white case over one shoulder, and a second tripod on, you know, the larger tripod here. I'll basically carry that in my hand or over my shoulder using a detachable strap. Needless to say, I don't walk miles and miles like this, but I can get a fair distance without feeling too heavy or uncomfortable. By the way, the pouch thing that you can see hanging from the legs of the larger tripod is a stone bag. Originally, as the name suggests, its purpose was to put some stones in to weigh the tripod down and make it more stable. But I use it for putting bits of gear in, and such as, you know, extenders. And when I'm not using the Black Rapid double strap, I sometimes put another camera in there with, say, a 24-70 or 70-200 zoom lens attached. Just drop that into the pouch. And it sags just enough so that things don't drop out, but you can really sort of get at things easily as well. So it's a nice little addition to the tripod, I think. If the total weight that I'm traveling with starts to get too much, I do sometimes just take one tripod and the Wimberly head separately. And then I just switch them out in the field, depending on how I'm going to be using the tripod. If I'm doing wildlife work, I generally tend to shoot handheld with my shorter lenses up to the 300mm. So I rarely use two tripods at once. So this isn't really a big deal, but sometimes, especially in cold conditions, it can be almost impossible to unscrew the heads. So I like to have both tripods if weight restrictions don't get in the way. I often find that even if I'll be mainly shooting wildlife, I end up doing a certain amount of landscape work as well. And I pretty much always use a tripod for landscape work, and the really right stuff, BH55, is the best option for that, in my opinion. It's an amazing ball head. Okay, so let's take a more detailed look at what's in my bag. Along the back there, in the photograph, is the 600mm f4. You might have noticed on the earlier photo as well, but I always keep the long lens support from Really Right Stuff attached to this lens. Long lenses like this tend to vibrate as you release the shutter, especially if you end up having to shoot at shutter speeds lower than a hundredth of a second or so. So being able to support the front of the lens as well as the back with this support really helps to reduce this vibration. I have some photos of this long lens support in action in a blog post for episode 198, if you want to see more. In the photograph to the left are my two main camera bodies. The one towards the back is the Canon EOS 1DS Mark III, and the one in front is the 1D Mark IV. The lens laying down in front of the 1DS is the 14mm f2.8L lens, which I generally use for ultra wide angle, obviously, landscapes. But I also use this, I like to sort of point this lens up into trees or get down really low with this lens, and it gives a really wacky perspective. Behind the 14mm is the 16-35mm f2.8L lens. At the right of that is the 100mm macro L lens, in the middle of the three black lenses there in that line. And then the 24-70mm f2.8 lens is to the right of the three. I like to have the macro lens with me, but unless I'm going out especially for macro work, I don't take my 65mm MPE 1 to 5 times macro lens or my macro strobes and stuff like that. In front of the 100mm macro, though, is two 25mm extension tubes and the 12mm extension tube. I keep these nested together like this to save space, and I have used all three of these at once to get much closer than life-size with the 100mm macro lens. There's no glass in these tubes either, so they don't weigh a lot. In front of all this is two 1.4x or 1.4 times extenders and a 2 times extender. These are the recent Mark II extenders, which are quite an improvement over the original versions. One thing I was disappointed with, though, recently is that it seems that you can't nest the 1.4 extender with the 2x extender anymore. The older versions used to allow this, which is how I shot my moon video, so I was not very happy when I tried this recently to shoot the lunar eclipse, only to find that it's no longer possible. Otherwise, these are great extenders and work really well with the new 70-200 f2.8L lens, which we can see to the right of this shot. The 70-200mm f2.8L lens is a big improvement over the original 70-200. I covered this in my review of the lens in comparison with the old version in episode 235, so I won't go into detail today. By the way, I have two 1.4 times extenders because I often find myself needing one for each camera body. I don't use the 2 times extender enough to do this, but the 1.4 times gets used a lot, and so I like to have two with me. Basically, the zoom lenses that I've just mentioned take me from 16-200 at f2.8, and I can get out to 14mm with the first prime that we looked at. If I drop the extenders onto the 70-200 f2.8, then I get a 100-280 lens, or a 140-400 lens if I use the 2x extender. With the Mark II versions of these extenders and the new 70-200 lens, both of these are very workable combinations, so I don't shy away from using extenders with that new 70-200 lens. They also work great with the 300mm f2.8L lens that we can see to the left of the 70-200 there. This is the only of these lenses that we see here that I have not upgraded to the Mark II version that was released. The Mark II of the 300 was released earlier this year, but I forewent that. I decided not to upgrade that one. I am already incredibly happy with the image quality of the 300mm, as this lens is as sharp as they come. So I don't really see a point in spending the money to upgrade. The extra image stabilization ability and the reduction in weight is welcome, but not enough to replace this perfectly good lens. In fact, the main reason that I would replace this lens is because the image stabilization switch on the version, the older version, sticks out far enough that I sometimes catch it and turn it off. So as you can see in the photo, I actually have the IS switch taped on, I have tape over it to prevent this. The new model doesn't protrude as much. It's sort of inset, so the risk is apparently greatly reduced. I really would like that a lot, but it's not enough to warrant the upgrade, unless Canon releases a camera body with enough megapixels to outresolve this original 300mm lens. The other things that we see in this image are the Lens Baby Composer and the Rode Video Mic. The lens baby is small and pretty much goes with me everywhere. I love that little lens. The Rode video mic usually ends up in my bag even when I don't necessarily intend to shoot video, as you never know when a scene is going to lend itself to a short video clip. If I'm heading out to shoot video, or if I'm travelling by car and weight isn't such an issue, I'll usually also pack my 5 series Jitso 6X tripod with the Manfrotto video fluid head, which gives me the ability to smoothly pan around for much higher quality video. I also have a second plate for this video head with a really right stuff quick release clamp mounted 90 degrees rotated, and that's basically so that I can use lenses with a plate on the bottom of a lens that are generally pointing forwards, or mount the body directly when I'm using shorter lenses. There are better solutions for this now, but the system works fine for me. If you're interested, I went into detail on this in episode 239 of the podcast. I also pack my Zacuto Z Finder, which enables me to see the live view in enough detail to manually focus as I shoot video without more specialist gear for, you know, the time being at least. This seems to be working for me. To prevent the inner pockets of the Gura Gear bag from bulging, making it even more difficult to photograph the inside, I didn't pack any of the other miscellaneous things that I take with me, but I did lay them out to talk you through them here in this photograph. Not all of these things go into my bag. Some go into my pockets of my photographer's vest, and some go into a, like the battery charger, go into a separate bag and live in the car, basically. Or my luggage if I'm flying and going away, you know, if I'm not using the car. Let's take a look through these, though. Of course, clothing-wise, I'll always take the right clothing and footwear for the conditions I expect to encounter, but at the back left there is my waterproofs, which is basically a Gore-Tex trousers and a thin coat in case it rains while I'm out and I want to continue shooting. Note that I don't carry waterproofing for my cameras. As you'll have noticed, I use Pro 1 series bodies and L lenses, all of which are splash-proof, so if it rains, I don't have to mollycoddle my gear. I do keep a hand towel with me, and I will wipe off any excess water from time to time, but basically, if it rains, my gear gets wet. Please do note that not all L lenses are splash-proof, so you'd need to check yourself before doing this, but as long as they are, you've got nothing to worry about with a bit of rain or snow. Condensation is a different matter. If I'm working with a, you know, in very cold conditions, I will ensure that all of my gear is dried and packed away in my bag before I go into a warm space. This might even be wiping things off in my car before going into a hotel, or before turning on the heating in the car if that's where I'm going to be sleeping. But usually, just ensuring that, you know, stuff is in the bag and zipped up is enough to stop condensation as long as the gear is dry. If I have things that can't be put into a bag, I do carry plastic bags just in case, but I rarely use them for this. I find myself using plastic bags more to lay on the ground if I want to get down low. If I'm just kneeling, I use the knee pads attached to the Kiboko bag in the earlier photo. But if I end up lying down, I like to have a few large plastic bags with me. If I don't have any plastic bags and the shot depends on me lying down, though, I'll go ahead and get dirty if necessary. Moving along the back line of gear in the photo, next we have my X-Rite Color Checker Passport, which you'll probably know, I use that religiously. Then we have my walk stool, which is a collapsible stool, which we looked at way back in episode 84. But this basically can be used at the height that you see it here for a low stool, or you can extend the legs to a height where it gets you pretty much to a normal sitting height. It's great if you end up in one spot for a long time waiting for something to happen. You can just sit down and relax with this stool. On the right, on the back row there, is my Black Rapid double strap, which I have fitted with two Really Right Stuff quick release clamps so that I can attach any lenses or body to it quickly. I actually often take a third camera if I'm going to be shooting wildlife, so the 5D Mark II goes with me, and I often have a camera on each side of the double strap and a third on the tripod with the 600mm lens, which works really well. In the middle at the left is my battery charger for the 1 series camera batteries, two of which we can see in front of the charger there. Right in the front of the 2 spare batteries is my Spuds lens cloth. I like to have a nice clean lens cloth in another bag for use at hotels or lodgings on extended trips, but the Spuds are great out in the field because you can just sort of hang them off your clothing or a camera strap, and then, you know, to get into them is really, really easy. You just pull them out the bottom of that bag there. And some of these are also 18% grey, so you can use them as a white balance grey card if necessary. To the right of my batteries and charger is my filter case with a couple of filters out to show you. I carry circular polarizers in the sizes necessary for my lenses, and a variety of neutral density filters, including ND4, ND8, and an NDX400, which is a 9-stop filter. I also carry the Singray Very ND, but I don't use this as much as my fixed ND filters. I often stack these filters to get multi-minute exposure during the day, like in some of the images that I came back from Antarctica with this year. I'll put an example into the blog post, but I won't embed this into the Enhanced podcast. The Singray Very ND is the square leather effect case to the right of the filter case, by the way. Then, just to the left, in front of that, is my yellow CF card case. I use this because it's waterproof and it floats if you drop it into water, as I've actually dropped my memory cards onto the beach at a lake in the past. But these days, with my 64GB cards, I rarely find that I change cards in the field, but I still like to use this case just in case. I actually had to darken them down a little bit in Lightroom so that you could see them in this image, but in the middle of the front row is 2 spirit levels that fit into the flash hot shoe on the camera. So, you know, basically to ensure that I get my camera straight. I really don't like to see wonky horizons unless it's on purpose, so I use these religiously to ensure that I have things nice and straight. In the center of the image are 2 Canon remote timers. Again, I like to have 2 of these so that I can use one with each camera. This is especially important for long exposures because you can make use of the time while waiting for one camera to finish its exposure by setting up a second camera and running more than one at once. To the right of the remote timers is a drop-in polarizer filter that slots into the 300mm and the 600mm lenses. The front of these lenses are too wide for a traditional circular polarizer, so you put these slot-ins into a special slot at the back of the telephoto lenses and turn the filter there with a tiny cog system. I don't use this a lot, but when overall weight isn't an issue, I like to take it along. In front of that is an angle finder C to allow me to look down into the camera if necessary, to shoot from ground level or for shooting in space where I can't get my head behind the camera. And live view is also not an option. And the angle finder can be rotated 360 degrees, so you don't necessarily have to look down into the camera, but it does help if you need to get into a tight space or something like that, and as well as looking down. The little bag to the top right of that is just a little bag of tricks, tiny tools, and the things like button batteries that go inside the camera bodies to save the date, etc. I have had this battery die on me on a trip once, and I had to keep resetting the date every time I turned the camera on. And that was before it was possible to change the date in post as well. But still, you know, that I wouldn't like to leave home for more than a day without this little bag of tricks. It also contains some lens cleaning fluid and papers in case I get something nasty on my protector filters or on the front element of the lenses on which I don't have filters. I do use protector filters, by the way, as I've no evidence that they reduce image quality, as some people say. I use good quality filters, but you know, I rarely see flares from them or any ghosting, but they do save me from directly cleaning the front element of my lenses every time. I haven't had problems cleaning the front lens element of my 14mm or the 600mm. Basically, it's just a bit of glass over the front. It's like a built-in filter. But I've had no problems cleaning these. But I just like to reduce the risk of scratching lenses as much as possible. The irony is that even pretty nasty scratches don't really show up on the resulting images, but I just like to have the peace of mind that these things give me. To the right of my bag of tricks are my LED Lenser P7 flashlight, which I also talked about in episode 198, and the new LED Lenser H7R headlight. The P7 is a small but very powerful flashlight with a dimmer and a brighter setting, just two settings with a button that you select with a button on the back. And this is great for lighting things up at a distance and for light painting. But since I lost my old headlight somewhere, I recently researched and picked up a second LED Lenser in the H7R. This is a focusable headlight and has a dimmer switch taking you from really dim to unbelievably bright for the size, with a small slider basically that recognizes 100 varying steps. So it really is a very controllable light. I also found it great that the H7R version is rechargeable via a 5-volt USB connector as well, so I can recharge from my computer or a USB adapter in my car. With my car being a hybrid, though, I actually have a 100-volt outlet in the back, and I believe that a lot of modern cars have this anyway. So I can basically recharge my laptop in the field. I sometimes sleep in the car to save on hotel bills and so that I can get to a location before dawn without having to get up really early and drive there, etc. Here are a few items that I use when sleeping in the car to make it a little bit more comfortable. In the first photograph here, we see the Therma-Rest mattress. Here I'm showing you the extent to which the mattress will inflate itself just by taking it out of the stuff sack and unrolling it. To make it a little more comfortable, you can blow into either of the valves at the top, and you can see the valves there in the top corners in the photograph. I think that this particular model is now discontinued, but there are a number of great mattresses in the range, so I've included a link to the Thermarest website in the blog post. The front seats of my car recline so far that if you move the seat forward, they actually go full flat. But there are still lots of bumps on the seats. So I bought these mattresses so that me and my wife could sleep in the car. When I'm out alone, though, I've started to fold down just one side of the back seat and sleep in the back of the car, behind the driving seat. This turns out to be much more comfortable, especially when using the mattress. In the summer, I often just use a fleece blanket if I need anything at all. But as the cold sets in, I use the Deuter Exosphere ThermoStretch Comfort Sleeping Bag. I have the minus 4 degrees Celsius version, which is rated for comfort down to 2 degrees and will be fine down to minus 4 degrees, although it can be used lower. I don't sleep in the car in like 20 below, so I haven't, not yet at least, so I haven't needed anything colder, anything for colder weather yet, especially as I'm in the car and not actually camping. One of the main reasons that I went for this sleeping bag was because, as the name suggests, it is incredibly flexible. I don't sleep well if I'm all wrapped up like a mummy, and this thing allows you to stick your legs and arms out to a degree, which makes a big difference to how well you sleep, at least for me. So that's about it for the gear I use when I'm out and about for nature and wildlife shooting. I do sometimes pack my Neos Adventure overshoes so that I can, you know, venture into the shallow water at the edges of lakes and things. And of course, there are a various number of items of clothing that I use to keep warm, etc. And that's really focused on winter shooting, such as my Baffin boots. And down pants as well that I use in really cold weather. But we won't go into that stuff today. Note that if you want to see images shot with any of the lenses that I use that we've looked at today, if you go to my About page on the blog or type in mbp.ac/me into a browser, then all of the lenses that are linked below the information about myself are actually, they're linked to my gallery, to all the images that are shot with that particular lens. So you can take a look at images shot with each lens there if you want to. I know that gear episodes aren't for everyone, but hopefully you've enjoyed looking through the gear that I used for nature and wildlife shoots today. Note too that I won't include all of the links to the various things that we've looked at today in the show notes, but many of the things that I've mentioned are actual links on the blog post. So do take a look at the blog post if you're looking for something that I've talked about. And if you can't find a link, then leave a comment or just mail me and I'll search it out for you and get that to you. Before we finish today, I'd like to also wish you all a wonderful new year as we say goodbye to the somewhat turbulent 2011 and welcome in 2012. I hope that 2012 brings you success, well-being and happiness. Thanks very much for listening today and indeed throughout 2011, and I hope that you'll hang around into the new year and beyond too. Remember that you can find me on Google Plus and Twitter, etc. All links are at the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next year with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.